Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, fund Birmingham Southern, also sugar baby in the house, and the legislature is pounding some red meat.
You're breaking the ribs.
Poor cow. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, y'all.
Well, I was talking to a guy that's been covering the legislature for 30 years, and he said this is the most bizarre session he has ever seen. I also heard from a few lawmakers this week that said if they had to keep passing this nonsense, that this would be their last term in office. But, Susan, they still voted for it. They still acted like it was the right thing to do. This week, Governor Ivey signed into law a ban on DEI. Not only with state institutions, but universities, mm-hmm. at places of higher education, which will drastically affect what they can teach and do. They also, along with that package, passed a divisive concept, which does not allow professors at universities to really talk about race, gender, these things that have shaped the country and the world are now going to be hampered at universities where academic freedom of speech is now got a gag order on it.
It does. And in their infinite wisdom, it seems like they think that not talking about these things will make them go away. We have a complex society, and it's important for people, especially students, to understand what those diversities are and how to coexist with them, not to just shut it all down and, you know, put blinders on it as though it doesn't exist. And that's what they're doing. They're tying the hands of educators to help, you know, kids and university students understand how these things fit into their society.
I mean, Josh, we're one of three states now that have this nonsense of banning diversity, equity, and inclusion. Along with Florida mm-hmm. and Texas, those bastions of civil liberties. What do you got to say to this?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'd like to take you back to the George Floyd protests and the 18 months or so that we spent recognizing the struggle of minorities, and specifically Black Americans. And I want to say it was a nice 18-month run there. And then all the mediocre white people realized that, oh, whoa, this level playing field stuff's got to go. And so, you know, this stuff that we're talking about, the absurdity of it, the absurdity of saying to somebody that there is an inherent unfairness, and that's what that's how they push.
That's right.
Stuff,
that's right.
Is that there's an inherent unfairness to white people because there might be a Black person that takes their spot, or a Hispanic person, or another minority that takes their spot at a university to meet a quota or whatever, or you know, some other manner at the university because of these DEI programs, mm-hmm. or that the people are teaching about these things and making spots for folks who are minorities to get into these positions. And what that does is ignore an entire history that has gone on in this country, which has drastically limited
right.
the participation of those minorities.
Yes.
All right. And so that's what we're trying to do with this, is right a historic wrong that has gone on in this country, which has drastically limited the amount of participation that minority folks can have in a lot of these programs and on college campuses. And so, you know, the reasons why we have HBCUs, you know, you hear white people all the time. Right. Well, why can't we have historically white colleges? Well, you had historically white colleges, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, all are historically white colleges.
All of the colleges, that aren't historically black, they're historically white.
Yeah, they are. Yes. Well, you know, the thing
is Clarence Thomas got rid of affirmative action. So yeah, there you go.
Well, one of the things that mostly troubles me about this is because the legacy of this will spread wide mm-hmm. in our state. Mm-hmm. We want people to go to university and to schools to learn how to think. And this is one of the things that these lawmakers are saying they don't want you to do. Do not learn how to critically think or decide for yourself. Let us tell you what you can learn and what you can hear. And that is inherently undemocratic, un-American.
Yeah. And I'm surprised they're not in the high schools and the universities and the history department pulling the pages out of the books. Yeah. This has to do with slavery, has to do with civil rights, has to do with any of that. Each one of them having their own book and deciding what history should be taught.
Fahrenheit 451, they'll be destroying all the books next, but I want to move on to how they're destroying the Voting Rights Act right here in Alabama.
Again.
With the idea that this is to ensure safe and fair elections, they're going to make it a felony offense for anyone to go help their neighbor with a mail-in ballot. Now, they have made some provisions for blind folks and a few other people. But by and large, you cannot help your neighbor fill out their absentee ballot or you will go to jail.
Well, traditionally, most absentee ballots, most mail-in ballots are Democrat ballots. So they certainly don't want those. And an ability to limit the ability to do a mail-in ballot helps.
Well, and Josh, there's not enough Democrats that are going to fill out a mail-in ballot to make any difference in the state. I mean, but it is true what she says. It's about stopping black people from, poor black people from voting.
Yeah, you know, there is historically in the black community, again, we go back to the history of this state and history of this country in a lot of ways. There are typically a lot of efforts on education and ballot and election participation within the black community. So there are a lot of organizations out there. And those organizations have historically been painted as somehow corrupt or that they're doing something shady. Now, it's odd that none of them ever get busted for any of these things. We don't have any sort of a evidence that any fraud is taking place in this absentee ballot process, but we're going to do it anyway. And I'll tell you where I think that you're going to have some problems is while it's true that there are a lot of Democrats that participate in absentee ballots and stuff, there are also a lot of military personnel.
That's right. That's right.
Who participate in that. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of those military personnel I know firsthand have taken a lot of advice from folks, and they get a lot of help in filling out their ballots a lot of times.
Yeah.
So are we going to start putting military folks in jail for this?
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen?
Well,
what it's going to do is scare people into not doing absentee ballots because they're afraid of anything that might happen because the law is written so loosely.
And mail-in balloting in the states that allow it statewide are the most efficient and safe elections. This is all just nonsense that has come up since 2020, 2016, 2020. And this is nonsense that hurts people, real people.
Yes.
Anyway, you're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, it looks like they're teeing up to pass a bill that will allow the state of Alabama to guarantee a loan for Birmingham Southern, a university that has failed in every measure to meet its fiduciary responsibilities that I have seen. And now they want to bail it out, not because it's the right thing to do, but because it's politically motivated. Mm-hmm. You have the Birmingham delegation, the Jefferson County delegation, that does not want to see Birmingham Southern close. And so they are twisting the arms of the lawmakers to get this done. And they want to go around the current law, mm-hmm. and they want to pass this thing so that we, the taxpayers, can guarantee a failing school will survive for a time.
Right. They also want to go around common sense. I mean, this is the old adage of throwing good money after bad. And, you know, it's not like Birmingham Southern hasn't been to financial institutions and tried to get a loan.
Right.
They can't get a loan.
They can't get a loan.
They can't. And it's not just one institution. It's multiple institutions. So the state of Alabama is saying, okay, well, the banks don't think that you're viable, so hey, we'll just give you the money and see how it goes. Nobody wants to see a college close, especially a historic college, but the state of Alabama doesn't have that much money to start with. You know, if we had the gaming bill and all of that, I could see that. But this is a Republican principle of conservatism. This is what real conservatism is,
right.
Is to look at a situation and go, that's a bad deal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put my money after a bad deal because right. I'm going to lose it. But, hey.
I mean, Josh, this is about as fiscally irresponsible as taking your money out and burning it, mm-hmm. Which is pretty much what I believe that the Alabama state legislature is approving here, is for the state to guarantee a burning of $30 million.
It certainly seems that way. you know, honestly, the fact that they can't get a loan from anybody, you know, I have some experience in covering colleges in this state.
Yeah.
And, you know, I honestly can't help but wonder what we would be talking about if this were one of those historically black colleges we mentioned in the first segment.
Yeah.
And what the conversation would be like. Listen, I don't want to see any college close because God knows we could use as much education in the state as we could possibly get.
You're truthful now.
You know, man, it just it honestly troubles me a lot to watch this go on while at the same time, you know, the state owes Alabama A&M $500 million
yep.
or more.
Yep.
And while there are other things that could be done with that money, and I understand it's a loan in theory, but one of the reasons young Boozer is not giving out that loan as a state treasurer is because he doesn't believe that the university has the means to pay it back.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I'm torn because I don't want to see a college close, but God bless they've done some bad things with money over
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well, and their tuition is down so far. They mishandled Pell yeah. grants. This is a mistake of their own doing. Now, I can tell you this, that Treasurer Young Boozer had the ultimate authority to approve this loan. And after 30 years as a bank officer,
exactly.
he said, This is a bad loan.
It's not a loan. You're just throwing money at it. They've already gone through $30 million, and we're expecting to get it back.
Yeah. And so what he determined was, no, you don't get it. Yeah. So instead of going with the law that was written, they've determined to go around him. Like they're doing on everything else, they act like that their way is the only way. And this is not representative government. This is veering off towards some type of authoritarian type of government where there's no compromise. There's just one way of doing things. But they're going to fight against young Boozer, which means they're also fighting against Governor Kay Ivey. Mm-hmm. But right now, I hear so many of them say, well, Governor Ivey's a lame duck. I said, well, she can do a lot in the next 2 years to make your life miserable.
Yes, she can.
But they seem to have just taken this notion, Susan, that they can do whatever they want to and nobody can stop them.
They're bulldozing the state.
Yeah.
They're actually bulldozing the state and bullying people, even other legislators, into what they perceive as what they want or what they think is good for the state. And they know it's not.
No. Hey, I want to move on here. You know, Alpha Insurance, they mainly do car and home.
Farms
and stuff like that. You know, back after we had all those tornadoes a few years ago, you know, they canceled about 75,000 home insurance policies because they could, because they don't want to pay for that anymore. Now they want to get into the medical health insurance. They want to insure people under a brand new program that would not be regulated the way insurance providers are today in Alabama, like United, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and the other ones, have to follow very stringent rules. This would open it up for a Wild West insurance policy that would only benefit Alpha.
Yes, it would. And this is traditionally Alpha in that they want their cake and eat it too. They already have, a concession for being an Alabama-based company. So their taxes, there's a concession there for them. And now they want to open it up and try to compete around the rules that everybody else has to follow. This seems to be a typical rule for Alpha. And my concern is that what is this insurance going to entail? What will it cover? My understanding is it won't cover pre-existing conditions and a number of other things that other health insurance providers have to provide. And it's going to end up with the uneducated, farmer at some point that ends up getting into this policy and doesn't know it has health emergency and
can't cover it. Got about 350,000 members, and their members will probably be eager to get a less expensive insurance. But Josh, as we can read, it won't cover things like pre-existing conditions. It really won't cover things like mental health. And they can drop your coverage for no reason other than they don't want to pay it.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea. Yeah. I mean, if you're a person out there looking for insurance, this is insurance that is, it may cover you for like some basic things.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be there if you have a catastrophic situation take place. There's a reason why we have the regulation. There's a reason why the Obamacare regulations that went into effect, and that's what they're offering here is an alternative to Obamacare.
Right.
And everybody knows it's taken them this long to do this. And, I'll say this too. It's, I've raised some questions about whether or not this insurance plan that they were offering was what led to them fighting so hard against the gambling legislation was going to offer an expansion of rural health care options in this state.
Right.
Now, Alpha has maintained, they sent a message back saying, oh, absolutely not. This has nothing to do with it. But I can't help but notice that we're playing off a lot of the same pool of people here that would benefit from that rural health care expansion and would have cost them nothing. And, here we are.
Well, and I wouldn't trust Alpha as far as I could heave their big old butt across the room. But anyway, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, Susan, I there are some things that I just find hilarious and troubling all at the same time, because you can't hold two ideas in your mind at one time if you're a thinking individual. But
you're talking about the legislature here. Well, let's don't get too carried away.
So there's a big glass, as you know, there's a big glass window bigger than that that separates the House floor from the press corps.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a lawmaker that's near that glass, you can pretty much see everything they're doing.
You can see everything they're doing.
So at a House of Representative member who shall, for the moment, go unnamed.
But we do know who they are.
Yeah, but was caught by the press corps on a sugar baby site. Now, mm-hmm. for those who are unfamiliar with sugar baby sites, that is where wealthy men or men of means or women of means can go on and solicit somebody for sexual favors or just companionship. There's a site that you and I looked at to familiarize ourselves, and they have a slogan, don't they?
Yes, it's where romance meets finance.
So romance meets finance. So this individual,
that was clever, right?
Who is one of the ones who's voting against, allowing. Wait a minute, let me get that right. One of the ones who's voting to ban porn sites. Mm-hmm. He's voting to keep sex ed to abstinence only. Mm-hmm. He's voting for all these sex things. Meanwhile, he's sexting with an escort.
Right. And for those of you who have never been in the State House, you have the gallery up here, right? But the press corps is down here. We're literally on the floor. I mean, it's when they were in front of us, they're right here, just the desk away from us. So here he's voting for all these things, and he backs up to the window, thinks he's being private, and everybody in the press corps is going, ooh. And, of course, everybody's phone started blowing up right after that. But how hypocritical.
Yeah.
Please, with the hypocrisy here.
Josh, this is back to what my granny used to say, do as I say and not as I do.
Yeah, man, I hope that site doesn't produce any frozen embryos. I don't know if you can get to that or not, but we know this. We know this is what's happening. And, this is why I've suggested to some of my Democrat friends that they ought to put some bills in the works out there that would kick people out of the legislature if they're caught doing some of this stuff, to counteract some of the nonsense that they're doing and to counteract the attack on sex education that's taking place right now.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, tell you where sex education is needed? In the legislature.
No kidding.
Well, I hated that they took Craigslist down, because we used to have so much fun watching the rates of people looking for prostitutes of all different natures here.
Yeah.
All different persuasions.
All proclivities.
All proclivities when the legislature was in session.
Well, I remember this was years ago where the press corps all got together and was like, that guy's Sweetie Pie up in the press gallery, she's not wearing any drawers.
We can see everything down there.
Anyway, it's just a shame, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty weird.
And you can see them up there batting their eyelids.
Yeah.
And I it know. Ain't their wife.
I know. But, you know, there's somebody, a little lawmaker, you told me years ago. He said, something happens to me when I get to Montgomery. He said, you know, all these vices that I preach against all seem very good to me when I get into town.
Yeah.
I can't say it the way he said it, right?
No, no, please don't.
Yeah, no, no. It was a whole saying. And no, you're right though. It's kind of a way of life for a lot of those guys. And and that's what I think troubles so many people is the hypocrisy that takes place among those folks. And not just that. It's not just that hypocrisy. It's the hypocrisy of saying one thing behind closed doors to your friends and the people that you work with on the other side of the aisle, and then voting in a different way and apologizing to them and telling, I didn't have any choice to do this.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in the shape that we're in right now.
Well, and it's also, the voting against the rights of gay people when we know some of them are in the closet. We know this.
Yes.
We know this. Yes.
All the ones who failed press conferences, to say that they're not gay, they're gay.
Yeah.
We
know.
I remember somebody's grinder going off. Okay. Hey, we got about a minute left, but they're bringing a bill that says you have to verify that you're 18 or older to go on porn sites. Now, I think this will eventually be proven.
I wonder if sugar babies is involved.
Well, I don't know if sugar babies. That's not porn. That's love, romance. But they want to pass this thing. They want to enter into other states to do this. Now, listen, I'm all for keeping minors off of porn sites. What I'm not interested in doing is having folks have to register their name and their state ID to a porn, or to a, not to a porn site, but to a state database that can be exposed.
Of course.
And it won't harm these people, but it'll embarrass them.
Of course.
And, so Josh, I mean, you're going to get the last word on this. How do you think it stands up?
You don't want to hear what I've got to say about it, I'm telling you.
Wasn't a lot of our state websites hacked last week? Or aren't they still currently hacked now?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, look. That, I think that you're going, you're crossing the line of privacy for a lot of people. I'm all for that as well. But there's got to be a way that this can be done to prevent those folks, the minors from being on there. And I think that. The Republicans have typically been the party of personal responsibility. Yeah. So maybe, leaving these things up to the parents to put in the parental controls at their house on their own Wi-Fi could be a good start.
Yeah, I was just thinking that when you said that, is there a way to stop under 18-year-olds from getting into porn? Yeah, it's called good parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't think they're going to get their parents' identity and go in there and put it in without their parents' knowledge and then their name show up on a list somewhere, you're out of your mind.
Well, that's going to have to be the last word. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.